Welcome to the Technology Equals Equality podcast. This is episode 21. Hey, welcome back to the Technology Equals Equality podcast. I'm your host, Lori Brooks, and this is episode 21. Today's episode, we are welcoming Andrea Steinberg. Andrea has over 20 years of experience as a journalist and marketing professional. She has worked for large corporations, small businesses, nonprofit organizations, and magazines. Throughout her career, Andrea has always enjoyed and excelled in situations where she could put her writing skills to good use, even when her job title didn't say writer. Whether it was creating a brochure, writing a proposal, or revamping a website, Andrea's words have made a difference for her customers and employers. In 2005, Andrea became an entrepreneur. And today, she's here to share her journey with the techie community. Andrea, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Certainly. So tell us a story about how it is you once saw the future before you decided to begin branding yourself as, you know, the baby boomer entrepreneur and building out your business.
Well, when I first started my business, I really didn't have an idea of exactly what it was I wanted to do or where I wanted to go. I was in a job that I knew was going to end, and I was trying to think, what is it that I wanted to do? And at one time I thought I wanted to be a virtual assistant. And so I'd started doing research on that. And then one day I had this epiphany. It's like, I want to have a virtual assistant. I don't want to be a virtual assistant.
Yes.
Because organization is not my strong suit. It's, the strategy, creativity, that sort of thing, but organization, I need help with that. So that's, it's sort of morphed over time, and I think that's one of the things I had to learn and struggle with is that, when you're an entrepreneur, you can put things down on paper, but, where I thought I was going to be 10 years ago, it's not where I am today.
Definitely. I completely understand. So, of course, when you started off a couple years back, you had no idea. But what were some of the first steps that you took when you decided, you know what, I really do want to work for myself. I really do want a virtual assistant versus being the virtual assistant. What do you feel like some of the first things were that you did at that point?
Well, as I said, I was online doing research. I joined some online discussion groups. One was a group for copywriters, so it was, professional copywriters, marketers, and just getting into discussions with people and reading books and talking to other people who were doing what I thought I wanted to do, and just learning as much as I possibly could was kind of the first step, and really when I started my business, I knew nothing. I knew no HTML, I didn't know code, I didn't know anything about the online world. I knew lots about marketing and journalism. I have training in both, but the online world was fairly new to me, even though I'm a bit of a nerd when it comes to techie stuff, so, which helped, but it was really about learning and not being afraid to ask questions, which is a little bit challenging, because first of all, I'm Canadian, and, we're kind of, very, very demure and polite, and I'm also a little bit shy, so it took me, a little bit to go up to people I didn't know very well, or, get on LinkedIn and send somebody a message and say, hey, how are you doing this? But,
right,
if you don't ask, you don't get, and it's been amazing how many people are so incredibly generous with their time and their knowledge and have helped me along the way.
Certainly. No, I completely agree. It's awesome how when you do reach out, people are far more willing than you anticipate to assist in your venture, whatever it may be. As long as you're passionate about what it is, people are pretty excited to assist, when someone's passionate about something. So that's awesome. It was really about, taking the time to learn the online space and asking for help when you needed it. Do you find that was one of the more difficult parts of becoming an entrepreneur?
Absolutely. Because I think we all have there's this myth of the self-made millionaire, and this idea of, pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. And for a very long time, I really felt like if I needed help, it meant there was something wrong with me, or I was doing things wrong, or I wasn't good enough. And when I started my blog and I started interviewing entrepreneurs, And all of them started telling me about their coaches, their mentors, the people that helped them. And then it finally sunk in. It's like nobody's doing it alone. Everybody yes. has help. They may not be telling the world that they're having help, but everybody does. And once I realized that, it kind of, you know, freed me up to, you know, that I'm, you know, there isn't anything wrong with me if I need help. Nobody can know everything. Nobody can do right. everything. And that's, you know, kind of one of the worst kept secrets of entrepreneurship. There is no such thing as somebody who did it completely by themselves.
Right. Right. No, definitely. And when you decided, or you know what, more so when you had that realization, when you recognized that everybody has help in some way, shape, or form, how did you begin reaching out for that assistance? How did you go about finding the right mentor for you, or have you?
I think I've had a variety of mentors. One of the things I do firmly believe in is coaching. I coach other people on social media marketing, but I believe everybody needs to have a coach themselves, and that has changed depending on what I need in my business currently. Another thing is I belong to a local networking group that meets in person, and there's a couple people in that group who are really successful entrepreneurs, and so every once in a while I, you know, ask one of them, you know, would you like to meet for coffee or meet for breakfast, and I just kind of pick their brains a little bit over a meal, and you know, it's just learning new things about how they became successful, and you know, everyone's, you know, I pick up something that I can say, oh, I can incorporate that into what I'm doing.
Yes, yes. No, that's excellent. I love how you are building out your mentors through multiple different avenues, not necessarily just investing in one particular mentorship program, but always to kind of look around and make sure that you're able to, you know, attain and absorb that knowledge from multiple different areas and aspects of life, and that's awesome. And speaking of coaching, I believe you have a coaching that has a launch coming up this coming week.
Yes, I do. It's my Linked Success Bootcamp. It's helping you get up and running on LinkedIn quickly. So we're going to work on, you know, really creating an amazing LinkedIn profile so that, you know, people want to, well, first of all, that people find you. And then when they find you, they want to know more and, you know, reach out, as well as strategies for growing your network, how to promote yourself without being spammy, and, you know, all the strategies so that you can grow your business with LinkedIn.
That's outstanding, and I may have to sign up for that myself because I need some work on my profile. I know this. If you check me out on LinkedIn, guys, I need some help on my profile. I know this. I'm not the best at marketing myself. So.
Yeah, I'm doing this one as a boot camp. This will be the second time I've run it as a boot camp because I've done it in the past as a weekly course, and I know I always have people come to me and say, oh, this is really great information, but I got busy. I couldn't attend the last couple of classes. And even though people get recordings, they just kind of let it slide and they don't finish what they started. So this is kind of, you know, people can schedule a full day and sit down and work. I mean, sure, you have to take calls from clients or whatever, but hopefully you'll have a good chunk of time that you can invest in yourself and your marketing and really, have some good results by the end of the day.
Right. No, I love that, Andrea, and I actually love the way you did that as well, because what you were explaining is something that I hope the audience really kind of pulled out of that, is the fact that when you began running this course, you've done it previously, but not as a boot camp, but you listened to what your audience was stating and the fact that it was difficult to continue, you know, finishing off courses, and sometimes online it really is difficult to commit and go through and finish out a program that you may have invested in, but to do the boot camp program because your clients in particular said they need the info, they just need it in a microwave version, and you took that and you've now built out the boot camp. So that's awesome, and I hope the audience is hearing that. You know, it's just listening to that feedback that your audience will provide, you know, when you're doing that research. Do you feel that there's a limit, either minimum or maximum, to the amount of research that someone should be performing when they're getting ready to launch a product?
It depends on your personality, because there's some people whose personality is kind of jump right in without looking, and so, you know, you certainly do need to, you know, even just go online and see, are there other people doing what you're doing? Are there books on Amazon around the topic that you're trying to do? And then, you know, talk to some people. Some of the best advice I've got is when I talk to my ideal client type and say to them, look, this is what I'm doing. I'm not asking you to buy right now. I just want to know, if you were taking this course, what would you need? What would you want? How would it best help you? And, you know, because as a social media expert, I know the topic so well that sometimes it's easy to forget that other people don't know it so well. So when I talk to people who are my target audience, then I can find out where are the sticking points. And that's what I think a lot of people skip is doing that, you know, one-on-one talking to human beings.
Yes, the networking, the feedback, it really is key to listen to what the audience is saying. It certainly is. Do you feel that there are specific metrics that a newbie should focus on when performing that market research, when they are listening to the customer's feedback? Do you feel like there are specific pieces or different metrics that someone should be focused on?
Well, I know for me, you know, when I started my business 10 years ago, so social media wasn't where it is now. And one of the things that helped me decide to focus more on social media was the fact that my blog, when I looked at my Google Analytics, the articles that I wrote about social media were getting the most traffic, were getting the most shares. And so since I really love social media, it was like, oh, this is great. This is where I need to focus my time, because that's obviously what people want. So, you know, just paying attention to the people that are already in your sphere of influence. What is it they're doing? What do they want? And can you deliver it to them?
Excellent. How do you feel in that transition from pre-social media to social media? How do you feel that technology has assisted you in streamlining, you know, procedures that you had in existence prior to?
Oh, technology, I couldn't imagine doing without it. One of the things that I really can't believe I dragged my feet so long was Google Calendar. For the longest time, had, you know, the paper day timer, and I would write everything down. And, I mean, you know, I would get really busy. Like, my chiropractor, I'm surprised she still speaks to me, because I missed so many appointments because I'd be working, and I'd get so focused that I'd, you know, miss an appointment, I'd forget about it. But once I started using Google Calendar, you know, you can set it to do a little reminder. I set it, if I've got, you know, a presentation coming up, I'll say, well, how much time do I need to prepare for the presentation? I'll put a reminder those many days ahead of time. And then, you know, once I started using it on my cell phone, and I've got on my, you know, I just kicked myself that it took so long to finally dive in and do Google Calendar. And it's, I mean, my husband calls Google my boyfriend, because that has been my saving grace. I put everything in my Google Calendar. If it's not there, it doesn't exist.
I know exactly what you mean. I'm very much the same. I do very much so rely on Google and my calendar and the phone in combination. Those two are lifesavers. It's a very excellent little tidbit there. So I will, of course, I'm positive most of our listeners have a link to Google Calendar, but we're going to throw a link in the episode to that just in case. If there's anybody else out there who has yet to get onto Google Calendar, definitely try it out. But Andrea, what do you think a prospective entrepreneur should really take into consideration prior to taking the leap?
There's lots of things. I mean, certainly one is your finances, because it always takes longer than you think it's going to be profitable and to be consistently profitable. You need to think about your support network. You know, who are going to be your cheerleaders? Because there are going, you know, even now, 10 years later, there are family members of mine who keep asking, when am I going to go get a job? And so you need to have people in your life who will support you when you have those moments of doubt. And you need to do some market research, make sure there are people who can, who will want whatever it is that you're trying to offer.
Certainly. No, definitely. I love that. Research and finances, those are two of the biggest things. Aside from your mindset, if you do not have a clue how you're going to manage the finances while becoming an entrepreneur or beginning to make your venture, it's a bad situation. It doesn't look pretty. So make sure that you have your mindset right, you know how you're going to manage your finances, and then make sure that there's some sort of market for whatever the service is that you're planning to market in the first place. Because if there is no market, then you're kind of just hanging out with your hobby once again.
Yeah. Another thing about the finances is I think it was about my second year in business, and there's a local organization that runs workshops for entrepreneurs funded by the government, and they had an accountant in doing a workshop about, you know, what are the numbers, the types of numbers you need to watch in your business. And he said something that just lifted a weight off my shoulders. He said, if you're in business for yourself, there are going to be months where you don't pay your electricity bill. He said, that's just the way it is. And you have to become comfortable with that, that sometimes there's going to be cash flow issues. And it was, again, one of those kind of aha moments that I thought, you know, oh, it's not just me that, you know, have cash flow issues sometimes. Everybody does that. I know. I know an entrepreneur who's been in business 25 years, and his business is fairly cyclical, and he has a very significant line of credit because he knows there are times of the year where he's busy but the cash flow isn't coming in, and so he uses his line of credit to carry him through, and then when he gets busy, he pays off the line of credit and puts some money, you know, and does things. And, right. You know, he's been in business 25 years, and he's very successful, but that's what right. happens. And you know, if you're one of those people that can't, you know, deal with fluctuations and deal with uncertainty, you're going to have a really rough ride.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. And that is one of the bigger things to caution against, is to recognize that you have to have the right mindset. You have to recognize that there are going to be cash flow issues. It's a roller coaster ride. Entrepreneurship is a journey in and of itself. It's not something you venture into and it's a sing-songy, you know, like you said, self-made millionaires. It's somewhat of a myth. There's no self-made millionaires. It's a road. You have to ask for help. There will be issues along the way, but there are no failures, and that's another thing that I try to really make sure that people hear. There's no such thing as a failure. As long as you recognize the feedback that's coming from whatever it is you've been working on, then it's just information, knowledge for you to not do it that way in the future. So, but excellent. Andrea, our show is designed really to help entrepreneurs come up with ideas for companies to solve a pain in an industry that they may not have really been thinking about. And I would love to help you. If you had a magic wand and could change anything at all in your business, what would it be and why?
The paperwork, if it could be magically disappear or put away or organized and at my fingertips every time I needed it, that would make me the happiest woman in the world.
We have to get you a neat desk scanner. That's all there is to it. Hands down, we're getting one for Christmas. Cause
yeah. No, I have been doing some things that have cut down on the paperwork. For example, right, I've got, you know, my web hosting, I get a monthly statement from them. And instead of printing it out now, I print it to a PDF and yes, store it online. And, first of all, I can't believe it took me that long to figure out that I should do that. But I really am amazed at how much time it's saving me. It's just such a little thing. But yep, it's a big, and it's the mental stress, because I used to always have like this stack of, you know, about an inch thick of invoices in my printer waiting to be right, filed, and now they're not there. So that's, yeah, you know, having that mental clutter gone is just as good as having the paper clutter gone.
Certainly. Now, having, clean environment, making sure that you are having your space in a clear manner so you can focus and really be productive when you do sit down to work is extremely important. So, Andrea, thank you. I truly appreciate you having joined us this morning. This has been too much fun. I appreciate all of the nuggets that you put in there for the audience, and I will be sure to link to all of those on the show notes page.
Well, thanks for having me.
You can reach out to Andrea at thebabyboomerentrepreneur.com, or you can always reach her through our show notes page at technologyequality.com/Andrea. Andrea, thank you again for sharing your time and expertise with our audience. Guys, pay attention to the various types of marketing ideas that are all around you at all times. Really, you can spark ideas from just about anything in this day and age. So keep your eyes wide open. I hope you truly enjoyed this episode and have possibly sparked some ideas for your next business. Until our next episode, when we continue to hear the journey, find the pain, and create solutions, enjoy the week.